Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Giants lose another game, same way that they have lost games all year long. You want to talk about it, 888-808-1019. WFAN NFL football is powered by Verizon. So if Mike Kafka wants any shot at sticking around, and there's a very slim chance that he will, he's going to need Jackson Dart healthy. That's what's going to have to happen. Now, Jackson Dart looks great on the sideline yesterday, I have to say.
Should have been here a half hour ago.
He looks great on the sideline. He has, you know, his glasses on. He looked healthy. So hopefully it's just 1 week that he is out. But he's got to play. And I heard a caller call up C-Mac and say that, you know, don't play him the rest of the year.
What?
Don't put him in harm's way. I'm like, give me a break. That is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. He's got to get out there. He's got to play. He's got to get the most experience possible. Yes, he needs to protect himself. For God's sakes, you can't keep these guys in bubble wrap. He's going to be playing football, and he's going to be facing defenses, and he's going to get hit, and he's going to learn how to do it. If you think this guy is going to be your franchise quarterback for the next 15 years, you can't protect him by sitting him out the rest of the year. The best thing for him is to play. So this was sort of a nothing situation for the Giants yesterday. I just want to see Jackson Dart get back out there. And by the way, that Isaiah Hodgins signing pays off right away as they pull him off of the Steelers practice squad. He goes out there and catches a bunch of passes. And there is CeeLo last night on SNY. Look at that. I'm looking at him right now.
Yeah.
He's in a blue blazer. Look at that.
Yeah, look at him.
Wow. How about the irony that I'm looking at CeeLo in the studio on a television and not in his seat doing the updates?
So you went from serious there.
Yeah. Yep.
So you see, I think he may have slept through and this morning.
Yeah. Yep.
Could that be the case?
Well, he knew he said he wasn't going to be here.
Yep.
Yeah, he did say that on. See, that's the thing about social media. You put your stuff out there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So now we know that he said that he didn't check the schedule.
That's right.
When the last time he missed, he said it was his bad and he should have checked the schedule.
Exactly. That's what happened.
There he is. Look at that. Flesh and blood right there on SNY last night. Screaming about the Giants.
God, I can't even imagine when he wakes up and looks at that phone how he's going to feel. That's going to be stomach right through the ass spot.
He's got a little thicker. Don't you think?
I think he looks about the same, honestly.
I think he looks thick. Lower half.
He's always had that thick lower half. You know, I think it is like when he's gone like clean shaven there.
Okay.
Which is not probably the best idea.
I'm not talking about his head. I'm talking about his lower half.
His lower half? Thick lower half?
Yeah, he's got thick legs.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. He definitely did big and thick. I bet you Phil Sims, if he was watching this last night, he was salivating looking at that lower half there.
Yeah.
Looking at that base on that CeeLo. Look at the base on that CeeLo.
I do think you're right. Jackson Dart needs to be playing, and anybody who thinks that he doesn't want to play, you're out of your mind. I mean, he wants to get on the field. He wants to play. I'm sure he felt like that yesterday, standing there on the sideline and watching Jameis do his thing. And, you know, for the most part, I mean, it was pure Jameis. He was hitting the Packers in the face.
I mean he could have had four interceptions.
Yes, he could. He could have had a Sam Darnold day.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, which is incredible. And, you know, Sam, he's been so good. This was a bad game in a big spot, which is what he had last year.
Yep.
Two bad games in big spots. So
a couple of really bad interceptions.
Yeah,
too.
I know. So that's the thing. So it's like it's so tough because we judge on such a high level the quarterback position, And Sam has been awesome. He's won so many games. He's been great. His stats have been great. But one of the worst things you can be in sports is the guy that you can't count on when the lights are brighter in the biggest games. And that's what Sam has been now. This was the biggest game they played all year. The two biggest games they played last year in Minnesota, he was not good. We talked about this being the game of the week. And the team, they only lost but 2 points with all those picks. So this is something, if he's really going to go into that next level, I mean, he cannot have these miserable games against the best teams. I mean, and this was a similar situation. I mean, you're talking about, you know, potential division-winning football games, which is exactly what it was at the end of last year against the Detroit Lions when he was on the Vikings and had a terrible game against a defense that hadn't stopped anybody for a month prior.
You know, it was interesting watching all these games yesterday. Raheem Morris has got to be on the watch list right now, right?
Yeah.
Atlanta losing again at home, this time to Carolina. And Dave Canales somehow, some way, is keeping his team right in the mix. He's, you know, I would think Mike Vrabel is probably either Mike Vrabel or Shane Steichen are going to be coach of the year. Mm. But I would think that Dave Canales has got to be right there. And Bryce Young plays his best game of his young career.
Yeah. I mean, that is a team that is hard to take seriously, but we're going to have to start taking them seriously. You know, Bryce Young, just the issue with him is he just doesn't look like he can do it. He looks like he looks smaller somehow. He plays smaller somehow than Kyler Murray does. If that makes sense.
No, 100%. Well, Kyler Murray is an athlete that runs around all over the place and makes it impossible to bring him down. But, you know, a couple of decisions are going to have to be made by a few of these organizations with their quarterbacks. But Bryce Young did a good job yesterday. I got to give him some credit because I've been all over his ass. And yesterday he played a great game.
Let's go to Lou in Oak Ridge. What's going on, Lou?
Hey, Boomer Geo. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah, Lou, what's up?
Boomer, I got a question for you. Since you've been in the show and you've been around a lot of coaches, do you think yesterday Brian Daboll sitting on his couch watching this game and just, you know, maybe feeling justified, like maybe a little fist pump, like another Giants collapse, it wasn't me. Like, do you think a coach feels that way when he gets fired?
I mean, he's human, right? So we all have human tendencies and feelings, and I would imagine that I don't say he takes joy out of it, but there's something to, you know, how you described it. I think there's something there. But, you know, he also may be interested in the Penn State job. And the interesting reasoning behind that is who is one of the big Penn State boosters, if not the biggest Penn State booster?
The Pegulas.
And, right, they own the Buffalo Bills, so they know Brian Daboll.
Yeah, and I would assume they would have liked Brian Daboll. He did great things for the Buffalo Bills. But yeah, I do think, I'm not sitting here thinking that Brian Daboll is rooting against the players he was coaching. I don't think he was doing that, but I do think that he probably felt at least somewhat vindicated that exactly the same thing happened when he wasn't the coach as when he was the coach. So he was certainly the scapegoat. He was the guy. He's the head coach, though, so you can't be really the scapegoat when you're the head coach. You know, he was the first person to lose a job. He's probably thinking, look, it's not just me. It did the same goddamn thing.
As soon as they took the lead, you kind of like felt like there's no way they're going to hold on to it.
Yeah. I mean,
and they got a third and, what was it, third and 10, was it?
Yeah, I think.
It was like a third and 10 or third and 12 or something, and Jordan Love completes it. And it's like, here we go. You know, and that was, there is something to be said about the here we go again syndrome.
Well, yeah.
I feel like that the Giant defense has been down this road way too many times. And the one thing I will say is that at least they were a little bit more aggressive. And I didn't, you know, I think if Jackson Dart may have been playing yesterday, maybe he gets the game-winning touchdown drive because he'll run with it and he'll take off with it, where Jameis is not going to do that.
Yeah. I mean, Jackson's also been out there on the field in some of those collapses, too, with opportunities. And, you know, it's been more on the defense, but you got to get
him back. The one opportunity that Jackson had, and it wasn't an opportunity to come back, it was an opportunity to put the game away, was that third down pass called against Denver where he threw the interception.
Through the pick, yeah.
Where that play should have never been called.
Yeah, that was a big one. That one lingered.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Same stuff happens with the Giants. A game, honestly, I'd be lying to you if I said I had a hard time getting into that game. I'm not blaming Jameis for the final play. It's Jalen Hyatt. How did he get here? We all know the story. The defense, same thing. Kafka doesn't make a difference. There was some good from Kafka, some bad from Kafka. I think it's actually a good thing what happened yesterday, ultimately, the result. You want a better pick. There's no good in winning. And if you lose out, it should mean definitively that they just get everybody out and have a fresh start, which is exactly what the Giants need.
That's a pretty good way to look at it. It's what are we on that week? Probably year, but specific to this conversation, week, you know, 5-6, where really we come in and we're talking about job security. Giants don't have a lot of talent. I don't know how else to simplify this and just boil it down to the core essence here of what really matters. When you're a general manager, your job is to stock the roster, draft well, you know, be on point in terms of other transactions, and give your coaching staff a chance to win. And every week we come in here and, you know, the Giants flush down big leads, which is obviously attributable to the defense, and where people still, well, not really people, but the Giants still seem to think that Joe Shane should be safe. I'm with you. I really think, like, the more that this goes on, and, you know, it's tough for the guy. Like, I thought the offensive line played really hard. Yeah, I thought they fought. I thought the Giants showed some good energy. I thought Kafka at least tried a couple of different things to distinguish himself from Dable. Now, he blew the challenge, whatever, the early challenge. But he's trying.
He's making it his own. It's his opportunity. Yeah. That's great. Good for him.
I respect that. He's trying to shape this in a way that's going to make him stand out. And I still do think that he's very highly or at least fairly highly regarded around the NFL, and I think inside the Giants building. But it's not about Kafka. It is about the bigger issue. It's the general manager who hasn't provided either coach enough talent to win.
Well, think about it, BT. The Giants keep losing. Because let's just get to the facts of the situation, because it's a lot of different opinions, whether it's yours, mine, the listeners, Boomer and Gio, whoever, you know, Tiki, Evan, McPherson, everybody on the station, people on social media, Giant fans everywhere, Bobby Skinner, all the people that work for the Giants, everybody's got different opinions on what needs to be done, on why things have gone wrong. So the facts are the Giants haven't won. Nobody can dispute that. And it's not just 1 year. It's been 3 straight years. And if you take out the one aberration of a year under Dable's first year, it's been losing for a long time. So nobody's going to dispute that. So now we get to, okay, well, why have they been losing? And as it pertains to the last 3 years, they made the choice that it was on Brian Dable. Certainly this year, right? Okay, well, they blow all these leads, blah, 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 blah. Has to be the head coach. Fire Dable. Have no issue with that, because when you lose that much, it's got to be somebody's fault. They chose Brian Dable. Dable's not here. They still lose in similar fashion. So you tell me, do we think this was, oh, well, we saw enough from Kafka and Joe Shane's roster. They made Dable, not a scapegoat, they made him pay for doing a poor job in 3 years. If they continue to lose the same way, then it means it wasn't just Brian Dable. Then it means it was the players. It's either coaching or players. Sometimes it's both. If you get rid of the coach, now you've already said, okay, well, we believe it was the coach. Now, if it's the players, then who's that on? That's why I think it's best that they continue to lose here, because how could anybody dispute, if the head coach is fired and they continue to lose, that it's not on Joe Shane, the guy who they said it was recently as a year ago, that the roster was great, the draft was great. And as recently as last week, talking about how he built a good young core, he's going to lead the search for a head coach.
I don't know how anybody has faith in Joe Shane at this point. I really don't. I don't understand it. You know, it's funny. You start talking about how, and you named everybody really at the station, all the people at the station, people think this and different opinions. I think we all kind of share the same opinion. And that is a broad brush to paint. So, you know, if I'm missing somebody's opinion, it's certainly not out of disrespect. It's just I'm not sure. But I just can't imagine that anybody that is on the air regularly here at the station thinks that Joe Shane should be back. And you know, to your point, and certainly I believe this as well, you know, you want to bleed out a little bit here. That's a term that I used for the Yankees years ago. You know, if they win two or three games, and the crazy thing is they still got some winnable games at the back end of the schedule, something you and I have talked about here. So you're going to get Jackson Dart back. The running game looks like it's actually going to be okay. The tight ends have played pretty decent. Isaiah Hodgins, he's back, and he made a little impact here. I don't know, maybe the defense actually wins a game and gets a stop. It is not beyond the realm of distinct, and this is the scary part, distinct possibility. Like, this isn't a Hail Mary. There is a good chance that they finished the season strong, and he's back. And he's back.
Well, that would be a problem.
It would be a massive problem, but I don't think it would be a massive surprise, which is the biggest issue.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to know. Who do you think is the biggest Joe Shane supporter in town? It's got to be Mr. Mara, no?
I would have to think at this point. He's one of them.
I mean, maybe there are a few out there, people in the media, who I'd love to know their counter to our argument that Joe Shane is just simply, there's nothing personal about Joe Shane. He simply has not done anywhere near good enough a job to warrant being, to warrant sticking around and being allowed to lead the search for the next head coach. We are trying to prevent the Giants losing continuing beyond this year. That's my main goal. What would I do to make sure that this team gets back on the right track? And I don't know how anybody could push back on the idea that it's best to clean house and start over with new blood, with a new head coach and a new general manager. We already know new head coach. Well, we assume that's not going to be Kafka, at least at this point. Well, I don't see the counter to that. How can you fight for Joe Shane? Well, he drafted well. Well, he's got this right. He did?
Where?
Well, why do they keep losing? That does not compute to me. So the more that this goes on, and whether Jackson Dart comes back or not, and there's, you know, other layers to get into, the Dart stuff, which is taking on, it's starting to snowball out of control here. Him and his running and all that stuff from the national reporters. The list of possible candidates that we got from
Glazer. Glazer had a big report yesterday.
We can get into all that.
Yeah, we will.
But the bottom line is, this team continues to lose, and there's no defense for what has been, at least, to put it mildly, an undermanned, under-talented roster.
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, they've had an absence of talent for years. I want to go back to something you said, though, about how, you know, you want to avoid them losing again next year, which obviously that matters. That's the bottom line basis for evaluation. Did you win or did you lose? So I co-signed, but I think even more important than that is I want to avoid a situation where you've got a lack of harmony in the front office, like a guy who's going to be dead man walking, hiring the next coach. And it's just not the synergy. See, there's multiple things at play. Do the Giants have enough talent? Clearly the answer is no. Do the Giants seem as if they might get it wrong again by allowing somebody who's hanging by a thread to make a very critical decision, and then if things don't go well next year, the GM gets whacked and the coach stays. And now it's just this cycle of sloppiness that, you know, you just rip the Band-Aid off. Please just go into the offseason and go through the evaluations. I know it's a lot of work. We've talked about Mr. Mara. That is a respectful consideration that we are incredibly aware of, and we know, trust me, we know that.
It's a whole different
It is a different thing. We just throw that out to be respectful and to understand, correct, you know, the depth of it. It's not as simple as, hey, you're fired. There's a lot that goes into it. All new scouts. It's a lot of work. So we do get that. That's why we said that out of respect. But listen, the business of winning football is goal number one. Joe Shane has not won enough. Matter of fact, the only time he won was with somebody else's roster. So
when Brian Daboll did the great job that year,
which we pointed out many times. To me, there is really just nothing else to interpret. I'm exhausted doing this.
I know, but the Giants need to realize. See, this was predictable though. Going back to a year ago, they made the bet that they wanted to double down or triple down or whatever, quadruple down going into the fourth year on Shane and Daboll. Okay, well, let's see them with their own quarterback. And we got to see it. And now, no matter what, it's going to be convoluted here because you have the head coach out, the quarterback's not going anywhere, and the GM is a lame duck at best right now. He's either going to be back getting to choose another head coach, which to me would be disastrous. And in best case scenario, everybody's out, but you still have a quarterback in place that was not picked by this regime. So now you could say that that's not a big deal. And sure, of the three things or whatever issues you may have, keeping the head coach, having a new GM, keeping the GM, having a new head coach, getting them both out, I'd rather have at least the quarterback in place and have a new regime come in and work with him. But still, it's not on the right timeline, no matter what now, because of the way that they let this regime get another pick and select their guy. So no matter what, it's not, to me, set up for true success, but at the bare minimum, they need to realize that they have to make a change from Joe Shane on down, and the way to expedite that would be to continue to lose
it. Now, amazingly, I still think the job is very desirable, and you know, I get it, it's maybe not optimal, it's not conventional. I think most, I mean, I'm not going to say every, but I would think that most qualified candidates at this point look at the Giants and, all right, listen, they're able to do something that the previous coaches were not able to do, and they have their quarterback. So I think the Giants offseason, when you look at the list of whether it's the Titans and some other expected openings, maybe the Browns, when Stefanski gets relieved, and he might, I think the Giants will be at the top of the list. But now think about this. In terms of appeal, but what head coach, and I don't mean a coordinator who's just elevated for the first time, what established head coach, which is what I think most of us kind of think the Giants need.
Yeah.
At some point, you hire somebody who's actually done the job and has won before. What guy, whether it's McCarthy, whomever, is going to sign up to work with a lame duck GM? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, no, that's why you see the list that was there. We'll get to that when we come back. We got to get some calls in here, too. The Jackson Dart element, but another lost Sunday for the New York Football Giants. No one's shocked by it.
No.
I mean, but still, the way that it played out, the same. It was actually surprising that they were in the game as long as they did. Good for Jameis. I mean, the Giants did some good things running the football. Like you said, Kafka, some good, some bad. And he's learning as well. It's his first opportunity. So I like that he tried to instill some discipline, whether it's with Abdul Carter.
Love that.
Going
Love
over
that.
The, you know, the challenge flag early on, all right, taking a chance. It was a mistake, and then not challenging the other play.
Yep.
So there were some issues there, but that's what you expect from a guy who's learning on the job here. To me, the better off the Giants are, or the more they lose, the better off the Giants are. BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. 888-808-1019. Gary starts us off in Orlando. What's up, Gare?
Morning, guys.
What's up, Gare? How you doing, bud?
I agree with you 100%. During the game yesterday, I was rooting for them like hell to win that game. I thought they played better than they have most of the year. I thought Kafka coached better than they've been coached most of the year. They just don't have talent on defense to stop anybody. So I want them to win while the game's on. But when the games are over, I realize it's probably in my best interest as a Giant fan since Yankee Stadium for them to lose them all to make Joe Shane go away because he's horrible at his job. But I have a weird question for you, Sal, and I don't mean this in any kind of disrespect. Why do you call John Mara Mr. Mara? You don't call Woody Johnson Mr. Johnson or Hal Steinbrenner Mr. Steinbrenner.
Fair enough. Well, I mean, I don't call Hal that, and I don't call King Cohen that either. Yeah, I mean, I feel a different level, and thank you for the call, Gary. He's been here a very long time. He's had success, maybe the way he carries himself.
Mm-hmm.
I understand there are significant health issues here. It's just a way to me of showing true respect that I have for him, whereas maybe I don't have that for Woody Johnson. And also he's been referred to Mr. Mara before by people, so maybe I just got that from somewhere. I don't know. Fair question. I wouldn't read too much into it other than I'm just trying to show him respect in a very difficult situation.
Well said. I do the same thing. Now, have I always done it? I don't know. I'd have to really go back and think about it or find some old Giant conversations. I'm not sure. I think a lot of it is, or at least part of it is derived from the fact that the Mara name has been a name that, you know, that I have heard from the moment I entered the world. I mean, you just knew Mara, like Mara, Mara, Mara.
I'm pretty sure Mike used to refer to Wellington as Mr. Mara. I'm not 100% sure. Maybe I start. So it's somewhere in my mind I got the Mr. Mara thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. But yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's all coming from a good place. And it's a fair question because we don't do it for the other ones. But again, it's all rooted in good and respect.
And especially now.
Yep.
with the health situation. That's it. Now, as for the other stuff, yeah, I mean, I'd love for somebody to tell me that Joe Shane has done well, including Mr. Mara. I don't think he can anymore.
Well, I can make one bold statement. Yeah. You're never going to hear me say Mr. Johnson. That is for damn freaking sure. That's never happening.
BT, you know what? I actually did it with John Ledecky. I was calling him Mr. Ledecky when we were out the first time. Gio took me there to the Islander Suite. I was calling him Mr. Ledecky. He's like, come on, call me John.
I think I did the same thing, but yeah, that's just okay. The way I was raised. You meet somebody, you know, a little bit older, a position of authority. How are you, Mr. Ledecky?
Yeah.
Thanks for having us.
And I also, the way that they carry themselves, Woody, to me, seems more like one of the boys. Like, if you met him and were, hey, Mr. Johnson, he'd be like, call me Woody. Like, that, which is a credit to Woody. Mr. Ledecky, same thing. He said, with Mr. Mara, I don't know, there just feels like a different aura and authority. That's why. But I wouldn't read too much into it. And who cares, really? It's about the win-loss record. Dom is calling from New Rochelle. What's up, Dom?
Dom, what's going on, buddy? How are you? Nope.
Okay. Robin is calling from Westchester. What's up, Robin?
You?
Yes. Hi. I just wanted to make a point. I've been hearing a lot about the Giants being under-talented. And I think he made a good point on the post-game show yesterday via an interview with Javon Holland, where he kind of intimated, in terms of answering questions about the problems the team's having, well, it's above my pay grade. You need to talk to management, more or less. And I think part of this could be the fact that they're not bringing out, I think he pointed this out, that Holland is not around the ball enough. Like, he was acquired because of his skills, disruptor, etc., and he's been practically invisible when he's been on the field, just as one example. So we have a lot of talent, it seems like, on paper. So I'm just wondering what your thoughts are around, well, maybe it truly is a focus on the coaching staff, which I know has gotten a lot of attention.
Well, I think the coaches stink. I think Bowen should be gone. So let's just address that there, Robin. And I think that the talent for the Giants is grossly overstated.
Right.
Now, I'll also say this. There is such a thing where talent's not necessarily compatible. You know, you can have, and I'm not even talking about the Giants here, but I could be, because they do have four or five very interesting, highly drafted, well-paid players on defense where they use very, high draft picks and Burns in the case with the trade with the Panthers, where maybe if they were with different players and utilized differently, maybe it's a little bit of a combination of both. But you see, the Giants go from some high-level players to some awful players. And when you have that, what do smart offensive coordinators and good quarterbacks do? They target the awful players. They go away from the good ones and they just hammer the bad ones.
I think to say the Giants have a lot of talent is incorrect. To say they have some talent is accurate. And that's why, at best, they should be, I don't know, I don't want to say a 500 team, but somewhere around then. So you could say both things are true. The head coach didn't do a good enough job to get this team to maximize their potential and talent, and the general manager didn't bring in enough talent. I mean, what are we talking about? Let's say everybody's healthy. How many wins do you think the Giants should have if they were coached to the highest of levels? Their talent is what? 9 wins? 8 wins?
Yeah, they could have beaten the Commanders, maybe could have beaten Dallas, okay, obviously, and probably should have beaten Dallas.
And is that good enough in year 4?
No.
Especially when you factor in that nothing goes perfectly anywhere, really, in life, but especially in the NFL, you're going to have injuries all over the place, so you need to draft and develop depth, which they have not done, so they have some talent. I mean, I'd hope.
I think the Titans have some talent.
Exactly. Now, the Giants have more talent than the Titans.
Yeah.
And that's it's a good example. They should be better, and they're right there with the Titans, unfortunately.
And negative 63-point differential.
They
awful.
Should be better than the Titans, but how much better?
Mm-hmm.
Not
with you on that.
Not enough to say that Joe Shane has done a good job by any stretch.
The head coach didn't do a good job. He got fired. The defensive coordinator, for some maddening reason, still has a job. He should be fired. The general manager hasn't gotten enough quality players, so he has not done his job. And the players who are actually making a few bucks and are supposed to be outside of Burns, who was completely exonerated, and the O-line did play well yesterday, and that's good to see. They played with some toughness. But the players who are supposed to be leading the way, not getting the job done. So it's really, if you think about this from A to Z, in a lot of ways, guys, it's a colossal fail organizationally.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
And it's the same damn story. His classic jet rant definitely has fit the New York Giants over the last couple of weeks and really the last couple of years. Stewart's in Brooklyn. Hey, Stewart.
Hey, Evan and Tiki. What's going on?
What's up, man?
Tiki, you know, we've been in every game this year, although our record doesn't reflect that. You know, even though we're 2-9, I feel better at this point this year than the previous seasons.
Oh,
but,
definitely.
2 points... I
agree with that, Stuart. You're absolutely right. They're not getting, they look like a serviceable product some of the time.
Yes. And two points I wanted to make. One is I'm starting to believe in Theo Johnson. I think he's finally figured it out. He's got that physical traits to be a tight end, and he's worked on his drops, and he's going to be good. My second point is I thought Hodgins should have ran that route. I mean, even though he's back after a few days, he's probably in the right position to make that catch.
Right. So you're saying, and I think you're right about that, Stuart. Evan, I don't know if he said this on the air or not, but to put Jalen Hyatt in that last interception route, that corner route, it was a hitch corner to the left side. Jalen Hyatt sees the cover two safety just sitting there, and he just stops like the ball's not coming to him. Now, interestingly, if that was just a seam route and it wasn't a corner route, it was an easy touchdown. So a seam instead of a corner there, because the safeties were so wide, it's the easiest throw Jameis would have ever made in his career, maybe. But because it was a corner route and Jameis was throwing that ball regardless, the wide receiver has to be aggressive. And when you think, like Malik Nabers, he's an aggressive wide receiver. He's going to go to his spot, and he's going to make a play on the ball. Justin Jefferson, he's an aggressive wide receiver. He's going to get to his spot, and he's going to make a play, if contested or not, on the football. Jalen Hyatt plays passive. And in the NFL, in tight games and in tight throwing windows, you cannot be passive.
So why are you drawing up a play that involves him for the most important play of the game?
Well, to steal a line from Javon Holland, you're going to have to ask the coaches. I would love for that question to be asked. Why, to a kid who you haven't played most of the season, I think he did play earlier in the year, had one catch, I forget who that was against. It was a hitch. He sits down in the curl. It's the easiest route and catch you ever make in your life. But why would you design a play to have Jalen Hyatt run this must-throw route?
I'm going to become my Kafka for a second. Well, we really believe in him. He's a great talent. He works hard at practice.
Well, then I question your evaluation tech.
That would be the greatest counter.
That's what I would say.
Stuart brings up the point of Theo Johnson and how well he's played the last few weeks. I was thinking about this because Theo has played well. Mm-hmm. Now, Sean Morash is not the president of the Theo Johnson fan club. This is Sean 3 weeks ago while we were sitting at MetLife Stadium, and I secretly recorded him.
I'd sit this loser for the rest of the game. I don't give a flying that there are that many people around you.
Okay. He's got to make that play.
Catch the ball. He sucks so big.
Jeez.
Wouldn't stop me from upgrading tight end.
What do you think of Theo now? He has played well the last couple of weeks. Stu brings up the point. Your thoughts?
You can always come back to my good graces. Stack good performances and learn from your mistakes. He's clearly done that over the last 2 weeks in not ideal conditions either, mind you. So I'm not fully bringing him back into my arms, but we've had a couple in a row here. Let's finish the year like this.
I don't know if I'm going to give you credit or myself credit or Tommy credit for the editing, but I've heard that clip got back to Theo.
Oh, nice.
He has been very inspired since the Morash meltdown.
Good job, Sean.
Great.
So,
in that case, Shane Bowen, you suck. Everybody on defense, you suck. Let's see if that gets back.
Doesn't work the same way right now. It has to be live in a game with you just being unhinged.
All right, well, we won't see that till 2026.
Unfortunately. Joe is in Brick. What's up, Joe? Hello, Joe.
So, listen, the team stinks. Everyone that you're talking about, Wandell, they stink. Joe Shane took over that terrible salary cap, and he miraculously got us out of it, and in doing so was able to select a horrible roster over the last 4 years. So one guy gets hurt, and we can't keep up. We play these games where, oh, man, we're close. We're almost going to win the game, but we don't have enough talent to ever win the game.
Yeah.
So it's like, what, Tiki, you are saying all the right things all along this whole firing of Dable and yesterday about Carter. Like, what are we watching? I mean, the team is terrible, right? Like,
well, they're not terrible.
Andrew Thomas.
Joe, last year.
Andrew Thomas, right?
Hold on.
I'm so sorry to interrupt you, but if Andrew Thomas plays, our offensive line is middle of the pack, right? Like, what's pretty good.
Very good.
If he's out, we are bottom 3 to 5 in the NFL, and that shows how we lack. We have the worst depth. It's like we took every 3rd to 6th round draft pick over the last 4 years and just threw a dart at the board and hoped that, oh, man, maybe one of these guys could play. How do we not find, like, a random receiver and we're throwing out Hyatt yesterday again? And yet we had Hodges a couple of years ago who was quite serviceable for us.
Right.
And we just got rid of him. And I sit there and I get excited because of dart, because the kid could play. But it's so frustrating, man.
No,
it's like another overhaul.
I don't think overhaul is not the right word for it, because when I think about, and I called some of these games over the last previous two seasons, the Giants were unwatchable at points. It was I loved that I didn't have to travel and go somewhere else to call a Giant game, but I hated calling these games because they were inept. They're not inept. They're a good team that can win games. They don't know how to win, and part of it is the players aren't good enough in the depth part. So he's right about that. But I think more importantly, it's been coaching, like the managing of the games and being smart and being aggressive when you need to. It just hasn't been there. And so this year is different than previous seasons, but the results are the same. You've only won 2 games through 11 weeks.
It's tough because I'm very mixed. Like, what you're saying is true. I mean, if they execute just slightly better, instead of sitting here at 2-8, they're 5-5.
Right.
Season could look completely different.
The other thing he said,
or 2-9, I should say.
The other thing he said was about, like, what are you doing with your later round draft picks and drafting projects and kids that are going to take some time to develop? Part of the issue is that these kids end up having to play right away, because they've had so many injuries that you get a 6th-round Corey Black who now has to play right away.
Right.
And he's just not ready to do it. Now, like, I look at a guy, and I'll only bring this kid up because he played with AJ, my son, at Princeton. Andre Yosivas. You guys know that name?
Yeah, wide receiver of the Bengals.
Wide receiver of the Bengals.
Yes.
He was a 6th-round pick.
Right.
From Princeton. He's literally 45 minutes away from Giant Stadium.
Very smart.
And you need wide receivers. This kid was a decathlete, like a star decathlete, like an uber athlete. The one thing I notice when I watch Giants wide receivers and DBs is that they're not good enough athletes, right? Cordell Flatt, I know he was on the LSU championship squad. Kudos to you, man. College is a completely different sport. He's not big enough to be a corner in this league. He's not physical enough to make contested 50-50 balls like we just said. Deontay Banks doesn't give a you-know-what, and you can see it. A guy running back, Wilson, running into the end zone. He's at the 5-yard line. You just pat him on his shoulder pads? What the F is that?
Mm.
I mean, seriously. Like, so there is a want-to and a physicality that you have to play football. The Giants are not drafting those players, and it pisses me off. Because how do you walk into a room and sit with a guy who can barely speak football and has zero desire to play football and say, I want that guy. Yeah, I need that guy. I want that guy. If I was in a room with Andre Yosivas and I see he's jacked, he's a decathlete, he makes contested catches in the Ivy League, yeah, I know it's inferior competition, but look at the dude in the NFL. Like, how hard is that? So I'm as frustrated with the 3rd round down scouting as I am with the play calling on Sundays.
Right.
Because when I see these kids have to play, and then they're not football players to me. I mean, maybe it's the era. Maybe I'm just the old man because I'm 50 years old. They played in a different time when it mattered and where you actually had to fight for your job and it wasn't just handed to you because of where you were drafted. Like, those things are critical to success for any team, and the Giants don't have enough of those guys.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.